This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Good evening and welcome to the John Whitmer Show, broadcasting live from the Ramada Hotel in Topeka, thanks to our friends at the Eck Agency. Look no further for your auto, home, or life insurance needs with three convenient Eck Agency locations in South Central Kansas. Thanks again to our friends at Eck Agency, to John Eck and his team, for setting us up here. With pleasure to once again be here in Topeka once a month when the legislature's in session. We will be here to bring you live coverage from the Capitol. Happy you joined us here tonight at your local liberal resistance headquarters, mobile headquarters, so to speak, where we proudly champion the conservative principles of limited government, individual liberty, free enterprise, and traditional values. Pleased to have you with us this evening. If you'd like to call in, our studio lines are open. You can reach us at 316-869-1330 by email at john@knssradio.com, on Facebook at the John Whitmer Show, and on X at John R. Whitmer. Reach out. We'd love to hear from you. Don't forget to listen to our carry-on commentaries. That's our 60-second daily feature. It's run three times a day right here on KNSS. Every day, 5 days a week, you can find those right here on KNSS. Also, don't forget, coming up this Thursday is the monthly meeting of the Sedgwick County Republican Party. They've got a great event coming up. It's at 6:30 for the meet and greet. The doors are at 6:30. The meeting starts at 7 with a Zoom conversation with General Michael Flynn, and an information fair with a bunch of local and statewide organizations who will be there to share information with you. Should be a lot of fun at the Sedgwick County Republican Party. Tonight we'll play my exclusive interview with USD 259 Superintendent Kelly Bielfeld. He and I will have a frank discussion about the upcoming $450 million tax increase that they're calling a bond initiative, and how it's likely to impact the district and Wichita taxpayers. Deb Lucia from Americans for Prosperity Kansas will tell us about their upcoming rally with Congressman Ron Estes. Representative Pat Proctor will join us to discuss the recent bill passed by the Kansas House, which will clarify that only United States citizens can vote in Kansas elections. And Speaker Pro Tem Blake Carpenter and State Senator Renee Erickson will bring us our weekly Under the Dome legislative updates from Topeka. We'll talk with Mackenzie Ayers from Kansans for Life. And, of course, we'll be taking your calls at 316-869-1330. So we've got a busy show planned for you this evening. Let me start by saying, since Friday was Valentine's Day, I thought I would start this evening by talking a little bit about something that's close to our hearts. And no, it's not just politics. It's love. It's tradition and what makes America great. This Valentine's Day weekend, it's that all encompassing tradition of America, and for all of that, for humans really, it's love. And as we celebrate this day, this Valentine's Day weekend dedicated to love, I want us to think about what that word love truly means. We live in a world where everything seems to be changing at a rapid pace, including traditional norms like gender, for example, where the values that once made our country strong seem to be under attack. But on this Valentine's Day weekend, it's important that we reflect on those timeless traditions, the values that have stood the test of time and made America exceptional. It's, you know, love is not just about flowers or chocolates or romance. It's true love, the kind that builds families and strengthens communities and preserves the fabric of our society, is rooted in the values that have been passed down through generations. This is what love truly means. It's about commitment and honor and respect and, yes, faith. These values aren't just quaint ideas. They're the foundation of the greatest nation the world has ever known. And I'm talking about, yes, I know this is what annoys the left, traditional values, the bedrock of our society, the core principles that have been passed down to us by those who fought and sacrificed so that we could be free, so that we could survive, so that we could thrive, and we could continue this great American story of ours. And, you know, Ronald Reagan said it best when he said, freedom is never more than one generation away. And we didn't pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for. And that's why I'm doing this. That's why Republicans fight so hard for our principles. That's why conservatives fight so hard for the things that we believe in, fighting to protect the American way of life, the traditional values, the traditional family, and the values that define who we are as a nation. And think about the American family for a moment, a mother and a father raising their children in a home where values are taught, where faith is embraced, and where love is shown through hard work and education. That's the heart of our country. That's what makes us exceptional. And this Valentine's Day weekend, let's remember that the foundation of this love isn't just about romantic gestures. It's about building a life together through thick and thin, based on values that will never change, no matter what happens to the world around us. So in case you've forgotten, the country was founded, by the way, on Judeo-Christian principles that uphold the sanctity of marriage, the importance of family, and the belief that our rights come from God, not from government. We were founded by men and women who understood that the family unit was the first and most important institution in society, not government. And the role of a mother and father in the lives of our children is irreplaceable. It's sacred. And as Donald Trump said, we are one nation, we are one people, we will fight for America, we will fight for the family, and we will win. And let me tell you, folks, we will win. We will continue to do so because the strength of America lies in its families. Valentine's Day is about love, yes, but it's also about true love being built on trust and loyalty and a deep respect for one another. And we cannot let the radical left redefine what love is. We can't let them erode the foundation of the American family. We need to reaffirm our commitment to these values, and we need to stand strong in the face of opposition, because at the end of the day, it's these principles that make America exceptional. So I want to leave you with one more thought for the great Ronald Reagan, who said there's no limit to what a man can do or where he can go if he doesn't mind who gets the credit. And that's the spirit of the American family. It's not about who gets credit. It's not about doing what's right for the good of the family, or rather it is about doing what's right for what's good for the family, for good for the country, and good for the future generations. And we all have to be part of it in protecting our way of life. So take a moment to reflect on what love truly means. Remember that true love is about commitment to each other, to our families, and to the values that have made this country the beacon of hope and freedom that it is today. Love, honor your families, honor your faith, and honor the traditions that have made this nation great. And let's stand together to ensure that the love we hold dear today continues to go stronger for generations to come. We'll take a quick break, and then Deb Lucia from Americans for Prosperity Kansas will tell us about their upcoming rally with Congressman Ron Estes and their latest efforts to lower taxes for Kansans. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show, broadcasting in Topeka, brought to you by Eck Insurance on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show in Topeka, brought to you by Eck Agency on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Want to remind you about our friends at Americans for Prosperity. AFP believes freedom and opportunity are the keys to unleashing prosperity for all. It's a great organization of concerned citizens advocating for solutions based on proven principles. If you want to get your voice heard, a great example right now, I know they're out there door knocking for folks on the school bond issue. If you want to get involved, if you're looking for a way to get involved in local politics, AFP is a great way to do so. Make your voice heard today. You can find them at afp.org. And, of course, while you're online, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook and True Social pages, and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, speaking of AFP, next month, AFP Kansas is hosting a rally to encourage Congress to renew President Trump's Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. With Congressman Ron Estes with us now to tell us about the event is Deb Lucia from AFP Kansas. Deb, thank you for joining us. It's nice to have you back on the show again, my friend.
Hello, John. It's nice to be here.
Well, you're there and I'm here, but we're still together in spirit, at least. So tell us, you know, we've talked, and I've had Elizabeth on the show before to talk about the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, but what happens if Congress fails to act? Because the last time, as I was talking with Elizabeth, it's like a massive tax increase, not only for American businesses, but for Americans in general, right?
Right. I think people just, you know, the tax cuts happened in 2017 under President Trump's first term. And people forget that you know, they got a bigger amount of money in their pockets. The economy was doing really well. But what's really critical this time is that, you know, over the last 4 years during Biden, we had inflation go up 20%. It's costing people about $1,000 a month just to keep even. If the Trump tax cuts do not continue on, for the average Kansas family, that's an increase of $2,200 in higher taxes just for them. And it also is higher taxes on business. And then, you know, what happens when businesses pay higher taxes? We all pay higher prices.
Right. Well, they pass that on to the consumer.
Right. So it's really important that the Trump tax cuts stay, and for everybody, for Kansans in particular, it's just good for them to keep money in their pocket to help them, you know, with the fact that inflation has raised everybody's the cost of everything, basically. And the Protect Prosperity event that we're doing on March 8th is a rally with Congressman Estes. It'll be at 1 o'clock. It'll be at the new AFP office, which is in Union Station, downtown Wichita. That's 701 East Douglas. And there'll be signs for you to get there. You got to drive up onto the second floor. Basically, there's a ramp outside to get to the second floor to get there. But it's we're really looking forward to everybody come there. And we want a big showing. We want to make a statement to the federal government, to the people, that tax cuts are important for us. We need this. Kansans can't afford to be paying anything higher. We can't afford higher taxes. We've had so much extra with the inflation that has cost us right now. So
That from my conversations in the past with others from your team, it's, you know, the left loves to demonize the Trump tax cuts. And I saw in one of their, you know, deranged little press conferences they held last week where they talked about these were tax cuts for the rich and for the wealthy and the one percenters. But that's not the case. I mean, the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act was for all income brackets. And as I recall, I mean, it's the average savings for your average Kansans. It could be thousands of dollars for Joe Lunchpail. This isn't the wealthy who got these tax cuts. It was everyday Kansans. And so it really is an important deal that they renew these?
Right. There's a lot of information out there that is just not true. It's just factual information that the tax cuts helped were particularly for the middle class people. It helped them tremendously, and the tax cuts, it's not for the wealthy. I mean, that's just talking points. That's all that is. That is not true. It's absolutely false information. So we are, you know, Americans for Prosperity in general is against taxes. I mean, that's not, I mean, you have to pay some taxes, but we are, we believe that taxing people is not the way to prosperity. The way to prosperity is lower taxes and lower spending. And so
they have to go hand in hand.
It goes hand in hand, correct. And we are for lower taxes, and then we also want the federal government, our state government, our city governments to be lowering their spending, the wasteful spending that's out there. And so that's what Protect Prosperity is about. We've got this rally. Again, it's to make a statement. It's going to be a, you know, a fun event on March 8th at the new AFP office.
We're talking with Deb Lucia from Americans for Prosperity, Kansas. I know AFP is out busy now working to engage voters regarding the upcoming USD 259 bond initiative. I know you've got folks door knocking. My wife and I actually went out last weekend and did some door knocking. If folks want to get involved, I know you've been doing the you know, you've got the rally coming up, but if folks want to get involved to help, if they want to door knock, if they want to volunteer for you guys, what's the best way for them to get engaged, to volunteer or get involved?
They could reach out to me. And that's through Americans for Prosperity Kansas. There's information out there. My email is dlucia, L-U-C-I-A, at AFPHQ.org. They could send me an email. We're going to be around this next week. We do need people to go knock doors. I mean, you've got to get out there and let people know where you stand. And we got to get people to the polls because it's, you know, the election is Tuesday, February 25th. It's, you know, 10 days away, basically. And to vote yes or to vote no, you want to vote no to not have this tax extension, basically. And so we want lower taxes for everybody, and we want our money to be spent wisely.
Yeah, well, and as I'm really looking forward to it. Coming up at the 8 o'clock hour, we'll have my interview with USD 259 Superintendent Kelly Bielfeld. And you know, Kelly, to his credit, he's coming on the show despite knowing that I'm a outspoken opponent of the bond. But you know, the biggest issue that I've had with this all along is the whole argument that this is a no rate increase. And Kelly and I have been around and around over the fact that, yeah, but if you vote no, you're voting for a tax cut. And I just hope people understand that, look, if you want to cut your taxes, just vote no, and you're instantly giving yourself a tax cut. Well, not instantly, but within 2 years. But, Deb, I appreciate you again. If folks also want information, they can find it at AFP.org, correct?
Correct. Yep. Yes, they can. So thank you very much again.
Again, and we will we'll see you at the rally with Congressman Estes next month. That's March 8th, correct?
Correct, March 8th, 1 p.m., 701 East Douglas, the Union Station, second floor of the Union Station. We'll have plenty of signs out there. Again, it's going to be a nice rally. Come make your voices heard. Make a statement that you want lower taxes, you want less spending. We work really hard for our money, and we should get to keep it as much as we can. And this wasteful spending, this high taxes, you know, tax, it's got to stop. And please make your voice heard.
Amen. Well, I appreciate you. And I know you guys are going to be at the information fair coming up on Thursday at the Sedgwick County Republican Party as well. So I'm sure they can get some information from you as well then. Deb, I appreciate you. Thank you again for joining us. A pleasure to have you on the show, my friend.
Thank you very much. Have a nice evening.
We'll take a quick break, and then Speaker Pro Tem Blake Carpenter and Senator Renee Erickson will bring us our weekly Under the Dome legislative update from Topeka. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show, broadcasting live from Topeka, brought to you by Eck Agency on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show in Topeka, brought to you by Eck Agency on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Did you happen to miss a part of last week's show? Oh, that's okay. I did too. There was a little thing called, oh, I don't know, the Chiefs game, and then there was a week before that when I was sick. But that's okay. We've got you covered. We post clips from all our shows, single hours, and the entire show as one audio file. There's lots to choose from. Just download the Always Live free Odyssey app to get started. And, of course, while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook and True Social pages. And follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. By the way, also a reminder, this time of year, sponsorships for the John Whitmer Show are still available. If you want information or are looking to sponsor Jason Watkins, who happens to be in the room, you can email information to Tony at knssradio.com. for information on sponsoring the show. So with us now, as we do this every time that we're in Topeka while the legislature's in session, we try and bring you a legislative update. This week, starting next week, the legislature goes into turnaround, where the House sends the bills that they've passed over to the Senate. The Senate then does the same with their bills. So I've got two people with us this evening to help us go through sort of the rundown of what's headed to each chamber, our House Speaker Pro Tem Blake Carpenter and State Senator Renee Erickson. Guys, thank you for joining us this evening.
Thanks, John. Always a pleasure to be with you.
Hey, thanks, John. Appreciate you having us on.
Well, my pleasure. And we're going to have to pass this microphone around. So if you start hearing a little bit of microphone shuffling, you'll know why. Guys, let me start with this. Both chambers have property tax relief proposals, but they're very different. I think you're all going in the right direction. You've got the right ideas, but the two chambers' bills are pretty different in design. Do you want to kind of give us an idea of what each chamber's looking at and then what you think either chamber will do with either chamber's bill?
Sure, John. The Senate passed out SCR 1603, and what it basically does is a constitutional amendment that limits assessed valuation at no more than 3% in any one year. And what we've heard repeatedly from folks is that so many of their valuations went up 10, 20, 30% in one year, and this would cap it at 3%. And so we know that it's not the only solution to the property tax issue, but we think it's a good first step in at least providing certainty for people so that their valuation does not skyrocket as it has over the last several years.
Well, and what we've been looking at in the House is basically a rolling average, very similar to what we do with ag land here in the state of Kansas. And so it's not something that's reinventing the wheel. It's not something that's new. It's something we've done before. And so that's what our House folks have been looking at. But you're absolutely right, John. At the end of the day, the Senate has their proposal. We have our proposal. And that's what conference committees are for. So at the end of the day, the Senate and the House are going to have to sit down. We're going to have to negotiate, okay, what is the best policy? What's the best long-term policy? And how do we move forward with the solutions that we can in order to lower property taxes for Kansas? Now, one thing I do want to say, though, John, is that as far as the state is concerned, the state actually controls very little of everyone's property taxes. Most of it comes from the local level. And so what I would encourage your listeners to do is, and it's a bond issue you guys were just talking about, you guys – you start looking at those local issues and the local elected officials at the county level, municipality level, and school boards, because those are where a lot of your mills are coming from.
The looking at that 3% cap, is that a 3% cap on all or just the state's level, Renee? I mean, would that affect school boards, cities, and counties as well, or would that be strictly the state's portion on that property tax?
John, that's all residential and mobile home is included in that. Now, they could raise it, but they would have to take a public vote on that so that people can watch and hold their local electeds to Speaker Pro Tem's point, hold them accountable, because that is absolutely where most of your property tax is coming from.
On the House version, is that all or just the state's portion?
Well, as of right now, how they're looking at doing it, it's a fairly broad constitutional amendment. And so what it does is it says it's a rolling average. And then how that's actually done and worked out is by statute. And so the specifics are still coming in a trailer or a sister bill, basically, so that we're not putting all of that into the Constitution, because quite frankly, you know, the Constitution is not only at the national level, but the state level. It's really a sacred document. There's some things in there that exist today that really shouldn't exist in our Constitution. So I think we have to be good stewards about what we're putting into that document, for future. And one of those things is, something that we're going to be looking at in the House later this week, hopefully, which is a constitutional amendment, concerning ammunition, firearms components and firearms accessories, and making it to where it's the highest judicial, the highest judicial standard, which is strict scrutiny, that we could have in the Constitution. So if, say, the government tries to come and limit your gun rights here in the next few years, let's say a 30-round magazine ban or something to that effect that we've seen in other states, well, then at that point it would be definitely unconstitutional. So what we're doing is we're increasing our Second Amendment rights here in the state of Kansas with hopefully this other constitutional amendment that we're also working on in the House.
We're talking with Speaker Pro Tem Blake Carpenter and State Senator Renee Erickson. So that leads kind of to, I mean, this week is turnaround. House gets all their stuff out to y'all in the Senate and vice versa. We'll start with you, Renee. What bills should the House be looking for? What are the things that you guys have done that you think they're going to be, oh, that's a great bill, or you're sending them, you know, okay, that's the one they're not going to want to see? I mean, what are the key things that you are really curious to see that you're going to send out of your chamber that you're very curious to see how the House will handle?
Well, that's a loaded question, John, especially with Speaker Pro Tem sitting right next to me. But, no, I think as we all know, this has been a really quick session, and people have been working really hard. I know there's more work to be done, but the big thing that we have is the budget, and the Senate is waiting on the House to send the budget over to us. Other than that, we've got a lot of the same broad issues that the House is going to send to us. We've got election bills. We've got a school choice bill. I've got 17 bills out of the two committees that I chair coming, and looking forward to that. A lot of judicial reform. So I look for a lot of parallel subject matter in what's coming out of committees, specific bills. I'm confident, though, that we'll work well with the House, like the Speaker Pro Tem said, in conference committee, and kick out some really good legislation this session for the people of Kansas.
Yeah, she's not wrong. So this year we did something new that we haven't done since the 1950s, which we put the legislature in charge of the budget. Who would have thunk? You know, the branch that's in charge of being the appropriators and the power of the purse, we put them back in charge. And of course, you can hear the caterwauling from the second floor, from the governor, and not being thrilled with that process, and is asking if, hey, are you guys going to continue that process next year? Oh, we for sure are, because we are already finding efficiencies and savings by coming in and reviewing this process from the ground up. And so we did kick the budget out of committee last week. It's going to go to the floor this week, and we're going to pass it and send it over to the Senate. One thing that I will note is actually this is the fastest we've ever passed a budget out in at least modern history. We've never been able to get a budget out of committee prior to February 14th. And so what I will say is that we are, yes, working faster and more efficiently, and so we're going to get that over to the Senate, so they're going to have more time to review it as well. And then that conference will have the ability to then review those bills. And one thing that I'm actually very excited in that budget bill, John, is that we've inserted a line for funding for an AI efficiency study to go in and start looking at some of these agencies, and really, you know, kind of doing what the federal government's doing with going into these agencies and looking specifically at what they're doing. But not only are we looking at, you know, companies coming in with AI, mapping out these agencies and seeing where the money's going, but we're also looking at having data scientists come in as well. And so we can really start getting down to the granular level of how the taxpayer dollars are being spent, so that next year we can make sure that they are being spent the way they're supposed to.
You mentioned before and we'll take a quick break here in a second, but you mentioned before we came on the air, the budget, it's less than what the governor wanted in her budget by something, how much? $166 million less than over 2 years, less than what the governor wanted. And you know, and you and I both were lamenting over the fact that it's still more spending. But that's hard to not have when you're required by the courts to throw in X amount for schools and X amount, not by the courts, but you still have X amounts that you have to put in for social services, for Medicaid. I mean, there's just certain that you're required to do. Renee, is there any chance at some point that we can finally tell the schools to, you know, hey, you've got declining enrollment and declining or flat achievement levels. At what point do we finally tell the schools, look, you're getting a new funding formula?
Well, John, just so happens I'm chairing the new education funding task force, which the current formula expires next July. So we have to come up with a new formula. And in that process, I've said it for a long time, we need to have the will to stand up and say thank you to the Supreme Court for their opinion, but the legislature appropriates funds. We need a fair formula, one that funds actual education for students. And we need to tell the Supreme Court, quite frankly, to stay in their lane. And until that happens, they're going to hold us hostage for more and more and more money. And we continue to give more money and achievement declines. And so we need to stop that for the sake of our kids. They deserve better.
Yeah, well, especially, again, when you have declining enrollments or a three-year rolling average where you're literally funding ghost students that don't exist in the classrooms anymore. Do you guys mind sticking around for one more break? I want to ask you about our middle-of-the-road governor and her latest veto. Which, it just goes to prove how moderate middle of the road she is. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show here live in Topeka, brought to you by Eck Agency on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Whitmer Show in Topeka, brought to you by Eck Agency on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Don't forget about our friends at Americans for Prosperity, Kansas. AFP, a bunch of great folks, energized volunteers and community activists. And those are the good kinds of community activists, by the way, who get out there and advocate for solutions based on proven principles to tackle the country's most critical challenges. If you want to get involved, if you're looking for a way to get involved in campaigns or for causes that you believe in, make your voice heard today. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up. And, of course, while you're online, don't forget to follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook and True Social pages, and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Don't forget, Thursday the 20th at 6:30 is the Sedgwick County GOP monthly meeting at the Wichita Area Builders Association. General Michael Flynn will be our speaker. We also have an information show. Should be a lot of fun. With us still for our Under the Dome update this week is Speaker Pro Tem Blake Carpenter from the House and State Senator Renee Erickson. Guys, I've got to ask you about our middle-of-the-road governor, who issued her first veto of the session, vetoing the gender-affirming care. I love that phrase because it's so not gender-affirming care. But the Help Not Harm Act, which protected basically minors from the irreversible harms of quote-unquote gender-affirming care. Curious what you think, and curious if you, I don't think it'll have a problem in the Senate. In the House, hopefully you fixed the no votes from the last time you were unable to sustain the veto. I'm just calling you out. It was your look. Her chamber did their job the last time, so I got to go to you. You're going to, my guess is, as early maybe as Tuesday or Wednesday, you guys will probably take up the override. What do you think? What are your thoughts on our middle-of-the-road governor, and do you think you can override the veto? Who wants this one first? Blake does. Okay, hold on.
Give me that mic. All right, John. The House is not going to have any issues. We are going to override this veto. Now, when the initial vote happened, we had 83 votes. But we had four people absent that day due to illness. And so we are looking at having about 87 votes in order to override, and we only need 84. So the House is going to come in strong on this one. It's common sense. I think all your listeners out there are probably in agreement with where we're at. This is just a common sense policy. If you're under the age of 18, you're not an adult, you shouldn't be lopping off body parts. You shouldn't be having it to where you're doing irreversible harm. Even if a nine-year-old says that they want to transition, you're not allowing that child the ability to change their mind at any point in the future if you're doing irreversible harm to them. So we don't currently allow in the state of Kansas people to use minors to use tanning beds. We don't allow them to drink alcohol. We don't allow them to do cigarettes. There's a lot of things that we don't allow for minor children to do. And so I think that it's reasonable for us to put this limitation in place that says, hey, once you're 18, go ahead, do whatever makes you feel good or whatever you would like to do with your body, but not until you're 18.
What Blake said. But I'll add a little bit to that because you also asked about our middle-of-the-road governor. And this just is proof positive, John, that she says she's middle-of-the-road. She knows she's going to get overridden. We've got 32 votes in the Senate. We need 27. And the only reason I can think of, because she knows we're going to override her veto, is she's so married to her leftist ideology that she's just willing to stick to it in the face of defeat. She's going to soundly get defeated on this. I think we will take this up on Tuesday. We are not on the floor tomorrow. So, or if we were, I'm sure we'd take it up tomorrow because the sooner the better. And, you know, when you're in the middle of the road, you're going to get run over, and she's going to get run over on this one.
So, you know, it is interesting that she chose to fight this fight yet again. I understood the last time because it was that close, but looking at the numbers, I didn't realize you were all the way up to 87. Now, the question is, any Democrats join you on that, do you think? No. So, yeah, we only had one the last time, so it'll be a partisan vote. You will have one Democrat in the Senate. We won't name who, but you will have a Democrat. Interesting choice. I find that interesting. Wow. Well, you know, you're right about Laura Kelly. But this doesn't surprise me that she did it, and I'm sure it's not going to be her first veto this session, and I'm sure it won't be the first time that you guys get to override her this session. You know, the other thing that she did recently was she introduced once again Medicaid expansion, and you know, Blake, that's been something that your chamber, that Speaker Hawkins has been. I mean, as long as we've both served, I remember when you and I served with him on the Health Committee, he was opposed to that. Now, as Speaker, this has just been a continuing fight between the two of them. Yet she continues to try. You got to give her points for effort, at least.
What's the old saying? You know, you continually run into the wall. And yeah, exactly. So with Laura Kelly, you know, she's trying to do Medicaid expansion again. But here's the thing. We have to look at the federal government and what they're currently doing, right? Right now, the federal government is spending anywhere, I think it's approximately $690 billion, and it's one of the top items for DOGE to go after. And converting the current 90-10 match rate that they have with Medicaid expansion with states to FMAP, which is more like a 60-40 match, that's going to blow most of the states that have expanded, it's going to blow their budgets out of the water. And so I think we will all be taking a major victory lap here in Kansas when they make that change, and we won't have $500+ million that we'd be having a shortfall then at that point.
Yeah, John, one of the things that we found out in the Committee on Government Efficiency that we're doing on the Senate side is there's between 300 and 500 million fraud in the state of Kansas every year in Medicaid. And the governor has been extending eligibility to people who wouldn't otherwise be eligible through some waivers through her agencies. And so I have a bill out that we're bringing out of COGE that's going to cut that off, has to have legislative approval, and we're going after the fraud, abuse, and waste in Medicaid and all other programs.
Coge, that's basically our version, the state's version of government efficiency, the DOGE. It's Coge. I know you guys have been working on a lot of ways to cut, and that is really the key. If we're going to cut taxes, we have to cut spending. I hope you guys are able to do something like that. If folks want to connect with you, I know we're kind of coming up against my top of the hour break. If folks want to connect with you, if they want to follow what's been going on, I know, Blake, you have a podcast that you do. You also have your newsletter. Renee, what are the best ways for them to reach out to you, for them to stay connected?
Go to my Facebook page. You can email me. But also, I want to put in a plug. If you have ideas for government efficiency, go to KansasCoge, C-O-G-E, at senate.ks.gov, and give us your ideas. We'd love to have them.
And people can find me on Facebook at Speaker Pro Tem Blake Carpenter, and also at my email, just on the legislative website. Looking forward to hearing from anybody that might have any issues that they want to bring up. Thanks, John.
We've been trying to share both of your, like, I know we shared your the Kansas briefing. Been trying to share as much as we can, both the Majority Record and Ty's newsletters as well. So if folks are interested, they can also find that information on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. Guys, wish you the best of luck. Next week will be busy. You'll earn that big paycheck that you got. So I wish you the best of luck, and have fun with your override next week. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll play our interview with Kelly Bielfeld, USD 259 superintendent. Be a frank discussion about the $450 million tax increase. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show in Topeka, brought to you by Eck Agency on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. We'll be back right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most, exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.